Before we get to this week's edition of the Summer of Stein podcast, I want to thank our sponsors. Those are the people at Dish, who bring you the Dish Tailgater Pro portable satellite antenna, which lets you watch live news, sports, and entertainment in HD anywhere in the continental United States. Look, if you have to be outside, you might as well be watching TV. So whether you fish, hunt, RV, tailgate, it's a TV as flexible as your travel plans. Visit dishoutdoors.com for more and stay tuned for a great offer coming up in this podcast. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back here with another week of the Summer of Stein, and I'm so excited to welcome this man back to the podcast, my hashtag bro for life.
Hashtag bros for life.
Eric Stein. Eric, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. I think we're about to go down in the pantheon of all-time great CBS bros.
Yeah. Are we the greatest bromance that is a cross-show bromance in the history of Survivor and Big Brother?
Oh, man. There's so many greats out there. Yes. Like, I'm the tie to your Beast Mode Cowboy,
and
perhaps.
That barely even counts, because it's not like they were actually both on Survivor, where, you know, that if you want to say, oh, well, what about Jeremy and Natalie? Well, I mean, they were both on Survivor.
This feels like this was a missed opportunity, one in which we could have traveled the world together on some unknown CBS reality show in the upcoming months.
Why didn't they think of that?
Yeah, because they knew we wouldn't make it out of LAX.
Maybe not. But we are making it 3 weeks into a podcast talking about Big Brother here with Eric Stein. The odds were against it. Such amazing reviews after last week's episode. Rachel Riley said that she would love to play the Who Said It? Rachel from Vegas or Rachel from Vegas game. The Dalai Lama seemed like that he might be interested in coming on at some point.
He said he would play the Dalai Lama versus a llama.
Yes. So we're going to match him up against Tony.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And this is a good week in the Big Brother house, because if there was going to be some sort of harbinger of things to come and we could have prophesized what this week would look like, I could have told you on the last Summer of Stein, one player said that Eric Stein, not so great of a Big Brother player, and he got eliminated. Another player said Eric Stein, great all-time Big Brother player, and wouldn't you know it, he's the next HOH.
Well, it's only a 4-3 vote.
He's considered one of the best players to ever win.
Who?
Eric.
I don't know. I wouldn't even consider him that, which is crazy.
Uh-oh. Now that Swaggy is on social media, Eric, have you guys hashed out your differences?
Yeah, we're going to go and try and usurp our broness. He's my new number one guy.
Yeah. Okay. Look, you guys were both in a showmance on Big Brother. You have so much in common.
I see a vaudevillian comedy duo in our future.
Yeah. You and Swaggy could go on the road maybe at some point later on this summer to go on tour. Eric, yeah, Swaggy, the most recently evicted house guest. I think we kind of knew at this point in time last week, but it was sort of, the house is crazy. You never know. But Swaggy did indeed go home. Any final thoughts on Swaggy C?
I mean, I'm with everybody on this. I thought that he was a great character, really fun casting. Love seeing his energy, his dynamic, his passion for the game. But Julie's clip that she played for him, that said it all. That's all you needed to know about it. He didn't take his own advice. He knew to lay back. But guess what? On reality shows, they cast type A personalities for the fact that they can't hold back. It's humanly impossible for most of us to hold back, to bite our tongue. And that's why we make good reality contestants. Unfortunately, that does not always translate to being a good player. I think he's going to remain sort of popular. I think for someone who went out early, he's going to be held in high regard. Hopefully the relationship works out. And, hopefully it's a good experience for him. Gameplay-wise, yeah, he played too hard, too fast, as well as like 75% of other people who have ever stepped foot in the Big Brother house or on Survivor.
Some would say he may also be playing social media too hard, too fast, as he appears to be like a volleyball shot out of a TKO cannon, that he has been out of the house since, I guess, Thursday night, and has tweeted roughly 150 or 60 times since then, not including retweets and hours on Instagram Live.
You know, a lot of people think 15 minutes of fame is an expression. But the clock is ticking. So I would tweet as many times in those 15 minutes, literal 15 minutes, as humanly possible. Hit the gram, you know, tweet away, whatever you can do to engage people. Sell those T-shirts. If Swaggy's listening to this, he's not. You should go out there and book a club appearance, take $500, get your bar tab paid for, introduce a local band, whatever it is there is to do. And this is not a reflection on him. This is just the reality of being a reality TV star. Mm-hmm. So I am in support of his social media surge. I say, maximize it, sir, and make the most of it.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't just Swaggy that made the appearance on social media, but also the Summer of Steve, our namesake.
Summer of Steve 2018.
That he also resurfaced on social media and released a statement on video. Would you like to hear that, Eric?
I'd love to.
Okay. All right. Let's get our update from Summer of Steve here that he put out on a Twitter video, Eric, and let's go ahead and play that for you guys here. Okay. Here is Summer of Steve.
What's up, everybody? It's Big Steve. Unfortunately, I'm not in sequester. I am actually, fortunately, back home in Jersey. Love and life, enjoying the time with my family.
Did you say love and light?
I want to thank everybody for the love. Much appreciated from everybody. Truly, truly. I got to say it. So proud of my boy Scotty. Put the bros up. It's time to change up the game. So if you want to reach me or ask me any questions, hit me up on Instagram or Twitter. And that's BB20Steve. All right, much love, and I'll talk to you all later.
Okay. There you go, Eric.
Well, I'm a little offended that he didn't slide into my DMs with this, hoping that's still to come in the next upcoming days.
Yes.
One-on-one show of that soliloquy. But the thing is, I'm curious what you feel about his online branding. Do you like the use of BB20 Steve, or do you feel that 10 years from now he's going to regret his naming of his social media? You know, maybe you should have used a broader, like the Summer of Steve, for example, mm-hmm. for, you know, his permanent business.
Right. Well, I'm of two minds about it, Eric, because one, yeah, BB20 Steve does not age well. It is there is certainly a half-life on BB20 Steve, but I almost kind of feel like that the shelf life for Steve on social media may not be especially long. So it's also a little bit of a carpe diem. Sliding into my carpe diem.
Yes, seize the direct message, if you will. The literal DM, not DM. Yes. Well, the thing is also, speaking of aging well, I'd like to reconsider my week one stance on Steve. There, he looked easily 10 years younger than I do. So now I'm not sure what to make of what his real age is anymore.
He's a true master of disguise.
It was the... perhaps the stress of the BB house, or perhaps it was one of these situations like, you know, where they make Ian toss on some glasses or something mm-hmm. along those lines. Like, you know, maybe they like grade him up for his opening video or something. But now that he's home, this guy looks youthful and ready to roll for the rest of the summer season. Yeah.
And he's so pumped up. I got to give it to my boy, Scotty. Our new HOH, long may he reign, Scotty is the new HOH, Erica. What are your thoughts on Scotty here, the week three HOH?
Scotty likes his beans, don't you, Scotty? you know, I'm actually kind of enjoying him. It's very interesting. You see, the fans and the show, they like to group all super fans into the nerd archetype. But there really are a lot of subsets of the nerd archetype. You know, I would say Matt Hoffman and I, we're kind of like weaselly, you know, dickish nerds, so to speak, on the comedy nerd side of things, yeah. Right? And then you have some more of your purer right.
Let's
nerd.
Let's put some names on these, sort of like the genus and species of nerds. You got the nerds, the oh, well,
like,
dweebs,
like
the
Matt
losers.
And I are like shortest nerderandi or something. you know, like that's you can only qualify for our category if you clock in under 5'7" or below, possibly, you know, Ian might slide into our group possibly, but then you have the pure nerds, the Ronnies, the, Steve Moseses of it all, you know, whereas they're more the gamer types, you know, and then you have sort of more your wacky super fans, right? And I feel like in Scotty, I think I'm seeing more of how I think Cameron might have played last year, maybe Johnny Mac, possibly. You know, they have sort of that interesting put upon diary room Muppety sort of presentation that they're going with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like we're all like, we're right. You're exactly right. We're living under this, some sort of same classification, but there's different subsets amongst us.
Yeah. And we certainly have that in Survivor as well, where, you know, that you would say that somebody who where me and Cochran and, you know, all these other people that they put in, it's not exactly the same.
Yeah. And I was actually, you know, prior to this week where he's now really risen to the occasion, so to speak, I was actually debating if Scotty was disproving the fact that the nerd archetype automatically is smart. I was wondering, is it possible for CBS to cast their first ever, maybe not as sharp nerd archetype? But this week, I think he set me straight on that path. And I think he's showing some chops. Mm-hmm. However, he is showing actually some similarities to our fallen comrade Swaggy C, where Scotty seems more than a little eager to dive into the game. He wants to make his mark. I'm not going to be shoved into the lockers like Winston wants to do to me. Yeah. I'm not that guy. And I know I had a little bit of that chip on my shoulder as well. The bros did not do so hot on my season either. And he seems like he's playing with a chip on his shoulder and he wants to prove like, hey, I'm not to be taken lightly. You know, don't scoff at me. But is week three the time to do that in the Big Brother house?
Eric, it does feel as though this cast has come in with sort of like the group mindset of, well, we got to play hard. We got to make big moves this season. Do you feel like that? Is this something that has been drilled into them by casting, or is this a response to Big Brother 19?
Well, at first blush, you wonder why in the world would anybody ever subject anybody to watching Big Brother 19? And so why was this one of the seasons shown in Sequester? Well, this is exactly why. Unless you think you are Paul, you can't watch that season and not think to yourself, boy, I do not want to have a fate like the rest of the cast of BB19.
Hey, got me.
Yeah. That's right. Oh!
Yeah.
I think we are seeing the blowback of it in a positive way, and I really do think these people have come to play for better or worse. But I do think we're shaping up to have one of those Big Brother 11 type of seasons. It looks like some of the big names are going to be picking each other off in the early weeks. I do see that because people are coming out so hot here, and I do wonder if we're going to be kind of left with sort of the current nothing characters in the end of the game, because it feels like everyone's guns a-blazing, and that normally does not take out your Casey's and Haley's and Rachel's of the world. That normally takes out your higher profile players, and they just bat back and forth, taking each other out of the game. And I think that's what we're kind of seeing here early on.
Yeah. Eric, going back to Scotty, let me bring in an email here. This is from one of our listeners. Tia says, Robin, Eric, as Angie Rockstar has alluded to, Scotty could be playing us all. Is he actually a non-virginal evil genius? I mean, his voice doesn't seem as high-pitched this week as it was the last few weeks. Any thoughts?
I did notice that during his nomination ceremonies. Rob, I'd like to nominate you for eviction. Getting macho. Yeah, his balls have dropped in the Big Brother house. I think he's pretty virginal. I mean, I don't really see. I think you guys covered this ground last night. I don't really see what there would be the gain by. Like, what was that lie? How does that benefit you in the game? other than mortifying you. It doesn't seem to me how that would have any practical application for something to lie about. I mean, I guess to get cast, maybe.
Yeah, I think it would. The lie would work in casting. I think that you should go into, you know, I'm a 35-year-old virgin. Like, I feel like, oh, okay, interesting. I think that would help you in the, but in the house, I don't know how that helps you.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, he's like sort of dancing around good play and also not at all good play. Like, I mean, like the Hinky Boat did not work in the slightest.
No.
It was like sniffed out immediately, but then he kind of bounced back with some like, you know, strong stuff this week or whatever. I think he just wants to play. And I think that that's something that you see really early on in a lot of seasons. People get bored. They're just excited to like mix it up and be a part of their favorite game. And yeah, I mean, I think he's probably a virgin.
Okay.
I don't know how my analysis informed that conclusion.
Yeah. Eric, what I'd like to do is try a new segment on this show where we have Wednesday night's episode coming up. And of course, we do have some insight into where the story is going because of the Big Brother live feeds. So over the weekend, there were a couple of moments where a number of the female house guests gathered in the HOH room to talk with Scotty. And I was wondering if we could attempt to predict the diary room confessionals for Scotty.
I'm ready for this. Yes.
Okay. All right. Do you want to take an attempt at this? What will we hear from Scotty in the diary room come Wednesday?
All right. Do we have any sample quotes potentially or a general tone that I'm trying to capture for the way the ladies worked him? Is this like, you know, now he's Mr. Popularity.
Right.
Feeling pretty big.
That it seems like all of a sudden none of the women, maybe except for Sam, talked to him the first 2 weeks of the season.
Of course.
All of a sudden, he's right, HOH.
Do you have the Scotty impersonation down yet? I need to hear it so I can mimic it back.
Well, let me play you some clips.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Let's like workshop this, our inner improv classes here. Okay.
Okay. Scotty, when he was placed onto the block, he was very upset.
This doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And see, it doesn't make sense.
Okay. That was concerned, Scotty. He was also very happy when he.
This is my version of happiness.
It's on the verge of a voice crack, but not quite there.
The amount of charisma you have is just when he has deep ridiculous. Voice. You're ridiculously charming. Like, I totally get lulled in every single time I talk to you.
Is that what the lady said to him?
That's what he's talking to Brad.
Yes. No, well, that did throw me for a loop. That does not even sound like the same person. All right.
I don't know what you're talking about, Eric.
Okay. This week has been eye-opening for me. Seems like I'm Mr. Popularity. I entered this house as nothing but a virginal, middle-aged man. And I'm leaving this house. Very suave.
Before I became head of household, no woman ever talked to me in my life. I think I could get used to this.
That sounds like Kermit the Frog's nephew, Robin, tadpole.
Yeah. Hey!
I know that to you, this is what happiness looks like. But to me, it's Rachel in a sports bra challenging me to play racquetball. That's why I have a sleeve on my arm.
You know, the thing about Steve, though, that he is virginal, but that he does not appear to be lustful in any way, where somebody who he's not thirsty.
He's taking the full Brandon Hans stance that any attractive woman who might possibly speak to him is the devil in disguise.
Could he be puritanical?
Yeah, exactly. I think and honestly, I don't disagree with his stance. If this woman would not be flirting with him in the outside world and she's flirting with him in the house, it stands to reason either she's incredibly bored or she wants something from him. So I'm kind of standing with Scotty in this one. But it's also possible that Scotty doesn't know. Scotty doesn't know. Yeah. Scotty doesn't know if they're flirting with him or if they might have newfound interest in him. You know, power is sexy, Rob. Yes. Is this a possible thing that
a great aphrodisiac?
He just climbs up to that HOH room and they're uses that deep voice and they're just seeing him in a whole new sexy light now.
Yeah. Do you think that it would help if he went by Scott instead of Scotty?
I think that's been throwing me for a loop as well. Yes. But I think that might
Scotty is a little juvenile. No,
I feel like that's intentional branding to disarm people. I feel like he is Scott in real life. Right. I feel like he went in with Scotty like to disarm everybody.
Mm hmm. Yeah. I feel like them, you know, you're going to set somebody up on a date with somebody and it's like, oh, what's his name? Oh, it's Scotty. I'm like, I'll pass. Who else you got?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And then once his profile pic shows off the armband, sleeve, and bandana.
Yeah, tell me about it. Oh, his name is Scotty. Super nice. Loves Big Brother.
Wears a lot of
armbands. Plays frisbee golf.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, let's call a spade. This man is going to be one of our literal dearest friends as soon as he's out of the house.
Hi, Scotty.
So let's not rain on his parade too much. I really am enjoying myself some Scotty in the house. I am more simpatico with Scotty than I am trying to rip him. I have, you know, they may as well have called me Ericky in the house and dress me in some little boy clothes as well. My voice is known to get high pitched when I get excited as well.
All right. Well, we're talking about Scotty and his potential relationships. Another big story this week, Eric, was the fallout from Caitlin and Joe. That is Caitlin's boyfriend on the outside, and he, unbeknownst to Caitlin, has called it quits, Eric.
That was a heartbreaker for me. You know, I like to watch these shows thinking that true love is alive and well, and it left me with a lot of questions about, you know, where we stand. And, you know, I know Caitlin, she loves and loves hard, you know. She told Fezzy just this week, you know, that you're like my family, one of the best friends I've ever had. And so we know she's a passionate thinker and a passionate lover of many men. So it was very touching and sad for me to see the demise of their relationship.
Yes. Eric, have we had a situation like this before? I feel like that we have seen previously in the past, the female house guest goes into the house with a relationship and then ultimately faces whether it's temptation or, a romantic interest in the house. But usually, I think in all the past instances that I'm aware of, the significant other on the outside stayed committed to their real life relationship competing on Big Brother. This seems to be, in my mind, the first time that we are getting a person dumped while on Big Brother.
Well, as I mentioned about 15 minutes of fame earlier, how many tweets will this man ever receive again in his entire life? So if he can get easily like 800 more SoundCloud downloads for his next great song, now's the time to act on it. They can always get back together afterwards.
Yes. I have not heard any responses from people who have discovered Joe's music since this development.
I heard he was actually in the studios collaborating with Jacob Derwin.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great.
It's Caitlin from Long Island is the new hit track that he's going to put out.
Her name was Caitlin from Plainview. She had an aura around her head. I think that we should get Joe to play our summer concert also.
Oh, absolutely. That's one that Pauly Calafiore wouldn't miss if his life depended on it.
Yes, but he'll be edited out of it. Eric, so we have another email. This one is from Derek. It says, hey guys, you be the judge. Conspiracy theory or genius life coaching? I have a theory about Caitlin. her behavior and her quote unquote boyfriend. Is it possible that this person we are supposed to believe is Caitlyn's boyfriend is in fact not her boyfriend, but in fact one of her top tier life coaching clients? Before going into the house, she devises this fake boyfriend story with him. She sets out to flirt with any male house guest that looks her way, knowing that this will lead fans to search for her quote unquote boyfriend. The boyfriend is forced to address these issues, which he does so with maturity and calmness rarely seen before in similar situations, especially given the length of their relationship, all the while taking every opportunity to direct his newfound attention towards his music, where he somehow manages to include in his statements about Caitlyn's behavior, just crazy or crazy enough to work. Discuss.
I think it's more likely that he could be a complete figment of her imagination.
Yes.
And has manifested the great grandpa Lou to possibly take over his Twitter account and send out these tweets unbeknownst to him. I would say, yes, I'm sure that she's getting a lot more clients than she was prior to all of this. So that would be a very, you know, deep state sort of plan, a very duplicitous and well laid out forethinking of the show. I'm sure that her numbers are surging for the waiting list for her life coaching business at the moment.
I mean, when you charge rates like that, I mean, you only need a couple people.
You know, it's funny. I heard you guys discussing this earlier in the week, or Taryn was talking about it. And the thing is, I've always maintained this, that man or woman, a great strategy would be to come into the house and just give sexual favors for votes. And stick with me on this, because I know this is a salacious take, and I am not... but this is not direct prostitution. A vote is not the same as money. And I think, therefore, fabricating a fake outside relationship would not be in her best interest. Why not just come and flirt shamelessly and say, hey, listen, I want your vote, and then negotiate with each other. Hmm. And I'm not saying just her. This could be a man, woman, gay, straight, anybody in between. I'm just saying that I think that this is a practical strategy, not so easy in Survivor. You know, you're in the woods and you can't shave and brush your teeth and so forth. But in the Big Brother house, there is a lot of downtime. So I'm not seeing the strategic logic behind telling men that you have an imaginary boyfriend outside of the house. It seems to me it would be more apt that for someone to have a real boyfriend and pretend he didn't exist inside of the house, which is, in essence, what she's doing anyway.
So, Eric, just to talk this through, because we've seen many different players play the flirt card, which seems to, you know, be a, you know, not uncommon strategy. But you say go all the way. I wonder, though, man or woman, once you have, you know, in this negotiation, once you have given the other party your briefcase, what then is the incentive, repeat business for them
every vote? It's a one for one transaction. I feel like someone like the great David Gurdon could have implemented this, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. I kind of feel like that I don't think this would work.
I would say that if we were to rank out her strategies, it would be up there in her best possibilities to stay in the house at this point. Because I don't think it's a strategic mastery. I don't think it's her loyalty to alliances. I don't think it's her easygoing ways. So it's something to consider.
The other issue here with Caitlyn is that I don't think she has found a willing partner yet. I think that's been part of the problem.
Yes, that's neither here nor there. I actually tried to implement this strategy myself and was plainly told it's not going to happen. You're going to have to earn your votes another way.
You're willing to trade your vote for performing sexual favors for people.
That was what I led with on night one, and I was told in no uncertain terms to keep it to myself.
Yes. Would you have violated the wishes of America in order to keep that agreement?
No, America plainly wished for me to keep my clothes on. So.
Yes.
Yeah, was there. There was no conflict of interest there. Everyone was on the same page.
Okay. Eric, we, speaking of all this hooking up, we had a very interesting veto competition this week as Big Brother revealed that they were talking about an idea for a new way for Big Brother alumni to get together. Eric, first off, would this be feasible? Should there, instead of a Fessy Fitness, if there was an app where Big Brother alumni could all have access to each other's details, swipe left, swipe right, would this be a popular app among the Big Brother alumni?
You need to switch up your tenses on the question. Not would this be. Is this? Because this is a real app, Rob.
Yeah, it is. Yes. It's happening?
Yes, yes. Yes, it is called Facebook, Instagram, Twitter,
okay.
And group text.
Yes.
And there's a senior discount, just like in the BB movie theater.
Yes. Was this app developed by James Ryan?
Ding.
So, Eric, we got to see six Big Brother alumni selected to be the participants in the, or the characters that had to find dates, you know, on the House Guest Only app. Eric, were you disappointed that you were not selected as one of the people to be made into a House Guest Only cutout?
I was pretty pleased with the choices, but I will say, I thought that BB15 was banned for life from CBS.
They're back.
So I was delighted to see the return of McRae to the mix. That mm-hmm. that was very exciting for me, although I feel like there should have been more pizza references. But I was not surprised to not see myself in the mix.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's like, I guess they didn't do opening videos for those people, right? They only did the videos for the actual players themselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, you know, I feel like, you know, nobody, it wouldn't really land the 11-year-old removed player, you know, like, mm-hmm. hey, I'm Eric, and I would like to get to know you.
That's what your tagline would
be. Like, hey, I'm Rob. Glad to meet you.
Eric, are you surprised how much mileage Big Brother has gotten out of Night One evictee Jody?
I really enjoy it, actually. I really do. I do see probably some hurt feelings for Glenn and Cameron at this point.
Yes.
Jody has fully usurped their spot, and they've taken it and run with it. But at least it's fun for her. I mean, she did not get to have the full experience. And now she's probably one of the most featured people in the entire alumni.
She's going to be on the challenge next season, I think.
Yes.
Eric, would you be interested in filling out the likes and dislikes for some of the past Big Brother alumni to be able to work out our houseguestonly.com database?
Oh, yes. I like where your head is at. I think some people need our assistance.
Okay. What about your friend and mine, Adam Pock? If he was on houseguestonly.com, what are some of his, you want to start with likes? I feel like that's easy.
This is a gimme, right? Bacon, Tori Spelling, Apple Teenies, Heavy Metal.
Easy. What about dislikes?
Dislikes, making big moves.
Yeah, sure.
Let's see. Now he's a pretty affable guy. I think he has a lot more in the likes column.
Yeah, I think vegetables.
Oh yeah, vegetables are rough. That's definitely one of his major adversaries.
does not care for that. What about the aforementioned Glenn? If he was going to be included,
social media, alter egos, coconuts.
Does he like or he dislikes coconuts?
I think he's one to take the ball and run with something. So I think he's doubling down on the coconuts at this point. I think that, let's see, you know, I did see him overturn an entire ranch dressing on a fan at the premiere party. I don't know if that's a like or a like it was an unfortunate accident, but then he had to wipe them off his slacks. It was a whole scene.
This was on purpose? This was like a Jackass stunt?
No, it was like he was eating, grand storytelling with his hands. He was
telling a story. Somebody had like a salad.
It may have been some blue cheese for the wings or something along those lines.
Glenn knocked it over.
Yes, fully soiled someone's slacks.
Was this a male fan or a female fan?
It was a male. There was some moist towel.
It wasn't like, let's get you out of these. No. Okay.
it was a well-intentioned soiling.
Okay, a male fan was eating a salad. Well, first of all, that's a bad call at any sort of party. I'll have the salad.
Yeah, he got what he deserved in that situation.
Right, Adam Pock really put the hex on him. Oh, nobody gets vegetables at this party.
Yeah, they were probably in cahoots with each other.
Yeah. All right. Okay. What about, let's see, a Crazy James, if he was on this app?
Oh, dear. so many not safe for work answers that came to mind. I mean, I think for anyone who transports themselves back to the winter of 2008, they would know that his main selling point is in his pants. So he doesn't really need to put much else on his profile.
Eric, I was watching, speaking of Big Brother 15, I was watching on the live feeds, they show old episodes now instead of just like Fish during these, or like Jeff doing interviews with people during the competitions, which is fun. And I watched the same Big Brother 9 episode twice already this week.
Wow.
Where Crazy James was voted back into the house. And the irony was not lost on me that when they returned James to the house, they just had this giant package in the middle of the living room, to which exploded open to reveal Crazy James.
Yes. Yes, indeed. That many exploding giant packages in his day. Honestly, I really think he's a really, like, because that season kind of like lost in the ether of CBS. I think he'd be a great returnee. He was fun. He was had a lot of energy. He was a really volatile, dynamic, and well appointed member of the cast.
Appointed.
Yes. Yes. Yes, right. Indeed. Yes.
Right. Eric, what about Michelle Noonan?
Oof. This is dark. Pass.
Here, do you have anybody else to add to the database?
I'd like to add Judas.
Oh, yes, Judas.
He likes now, which
okay. Are you talking about Dan Giesling or are you talking about Austin?
Yes, Austin. I was thinking small top hats. Fingering, barefoot walks out of the Big Brother house, and luchador masks. He has some beautiful legs. I'd like to see the great Keith Henderson.
Yes, Keith Henderson. What were his likes and dislikes?
His likes are women. His dislikes are women rejecting him showing his penis during week one and voting him out for his borderline inappropriate conduct in the house. And I'd like to see Raven on there as well, who's newly back on the market.
Yes.
And
Raven and Matt broke up.
Oof. Yeah,
I didn't even know this.
No, it's not breaking news. Oh, okay. Breaking news to you.
To me, I'm on top of all this stuff.
I know. Next week maybe we can get both of their accounts of the situation. So she dislikes, I would guess, men who eat cereal. She likes
she is really ready for the house guest dating app.
I feel like if she'd like to emerge on the app, she could make a real strong showing for herself.
Yeah. Eric, the Survivor alumni have like a big Facebook group where there's like almost like 400 survivors in the Facebook group. Is there any sort of like a mass contact location for all of the Big Brother alumni? The email chain?
A real weak attempt, but like the people at the forefront, it's sort of like bizarre. It's Jen Johnson, Ashley Ioko, Casey Turner, and Maddie McDonald who are leading the charge.
Yeah, and what is it?
It's like an attempt to like update each other about each other's lives, but it's used like at most like once every 6 to 8 months, and it's like, hey, you know, I'll be DJing in Fort Lauderdale next weekend. If anyone wants to stop by, I'll get you half-price beers. Wait,
but what is it, an email or is it a Facebook group?
It's a private Facebook group. Yeah. But it really has fallen on deaf ears. Like, yes. It did not have a lot of traction.
Yes. The most prolific poster in the Survivor Facebook group is Diane Ogden.
Whoa. Yes. I would have put my money on Rafe. I don't know
No, he doesn't post a lot.
That's a letdown.
Yeah. Okay. What else happened this week? Oh, Eric, did you catch TKO this week?
Oh, what an innovative format. Yes. It's like I had never even seen that on American Gladiators 20 years ago as one singular segment.
Ladies and gentlemen, please.
Yeah, TKO. So exciting.
Yes, I texted you about this, and I'm willing to go on the record about this at my own probable demise from my future relationship with CBS. But how effing sketchy is it that production earmarked one singular player who just so happens to be the focal point of this season to pre-film an episode of TKO? I do not know how the ravenous Big Brother fans or Raven Big Brother fans have not attacked this and dived all over this. This is this is not the same as, oh, my voice is getting Scotty-like. I'm so excited. It's getting higher and higher right now.
What's with TKO?
I can't believe that Tyler got to film an episode of TKO.
Yeah.
but actually, I mean, listen, this is not the same thing as Paul, who may or may not have even been considered for the season and was on with several other past alum and wasn't alum.
Oh, so you think this is worse than
this
Paul
is a whole new
Candy
level
Crush.
of treachery.
This doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And see, it doesn't make sense.
Scotty doesn't know why he wasn't asked to play TKO. Yeah.
But we were texting about this the other day, and I was with you. I thought that there would be some outrage about this. I would have thought that, you know, these same Big Brother fans were like, hey, Amanda Zuckerman is related to Allison Grodner, she's her cousin, and the season is going to be fixed for her. We have seen the Big Brother fan base take a wild hair and run with it before. I just feel like that there might be such disinterest in TKO that it's a complete nothing burger here.
I'm incredulous. I can't even believe that this is a thing. Also, on the Big Brother TKO scandal front, I mean, how rough is it to be one Julia Nolan? You know, by probably a coin toss, she came into the house second and they both played as Liz. 3 weeks later, play as themselves. And then now Liz gets to play alongside of Julie in TKO for promotional materials. And Julia is nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tough being the second twin in the
pass?
Big Brother house.
Is it possible they wanted both?
Is this possible that they reached out to, what was her name, Audria? Or what were the twins from Big Brother 5?
Andrea?
They just weren't available, so they had to call Liz in a last-minute desperation.
I feel like on Big Brother OTT, they had that also, where one of them showed up, but like the other one had something else to do.
Yeah, it's just all Liz all the time. Julia is just persona non grata. She's just
30%.
Yeah, TKO interestingly, it was supposed to be on, they were going to move it to 8 p.m. and then Big Brother was going to be on at 9 p.m. Eastern, but it looks as though CBS is going to reverse course on that.
You don't think that they wanted the 1.3 million viewers to lead into the Big Brother episode? Is that the issue?
I think it was 0.2. I think that was the rating.
Yes, I once, and this is a completely legitimate story, I got called into the diary room with a few of the other Big Brother 8 house guests, and I was told to take the words pirate master out of my vocabulary.
Why?
Well, when we left for our season, Pirate Master had aired about two episodes at that point. Mm. And, you know, you're searching for common ground amongst your fellow house guests. So we were just talking about some of the other shows, and we knew Pirate Master was either our lead in or our lead out. And unfortunately, on the live feeds, we were speculating a lot that Pirate Master might not make it through the season. But we were joking. It was like a, you know, a humorous lick that we were sort of running with. Until we got a stern talking to. Listen, guys.
Shut it down.
We don't normally like to tell you guys things from the outside world, but you know what? There have been some problems with Pirate Master, so we'd appreciate it if you stop calling attention to that inside the house.
Yeah.
I felt like that was like one of my peak moments in the house.
You predicted the demise of Pirate Master.
Someone, yeah, for their speaking of Pirate Master too much. I hope that does not happen with TKO, but we'll see if it makes it through the rest of the summer.
Yeah. Did you know that Russell Hantz originally applied to be on Pirate Master, that he wanted to be a Pirate Master contestant? That's how Survivor got him.
I thought for sure you were going to say he's on next week's TKO against Tyler.
He's going to be on an Australian TKO.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. He's outworn his welcome with the U.S. TKO.
Yeah. So let's see how he fares on Australian TKO.
Yeah, I think he would have fit in well on Pirate Master.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have an email or a voicemail about TKO. This is Chris in Commerce, Texas for you, Eric.
Hey, Robin, Eric Stein. This is Chris Nichols from Commerce, Texas. I heard some speculation the other night on the Eviction podcast about Tyler being in the mix for Big Brother and how it's unfair how I get to do TKO and people are going to get confused. I'm more curious about, I perhaps think that maybe he used the TKO victory that he had. I don't know if he had a victory yet, but I think he's going to do pretty well or show some smarts to then boost his way into Big Brother, the place he really wanted to go. I'd like to hear some speculation about that so we can all be kind of right or wrong together about this. Let me know what y'all think. Thanks. Bye.
Eric, is it possible that Tyler came to Big Brother by way of TKO?
I do not want to be the one to speculate on whether or not Santa Claus exists for our caller here.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to say, no, that is not possible.
It's not possible. It's interesting, though, because I kind of feel like, why not lead with the episode with Tyler from Big Brother? It seems weird. And then also in the promotion for this upcoming episode of TKO from last night on Big Brother, they did a big commercial for TKO and didn't announce Tyler is going to be on Wednesday's TKO.
Yeah, because I think they realized how moronic it is. I mean, the thing is, right? Like, if they were going to take anyone out of the casting process and put them on TKO, it could have very easily been a JC. It could have been a Swaggy. And they could have had a situation where they have someone who's now out of the house and showing up on TKO. So, I mean,
Steve.
he might still show up later in the summer. It is the summer of Steve.
Summer of Steve 2018.
I'm now thinking that is going to become an icon, much in the way of Jody. I feel like we have not seen the last of Summer of Steve.
I hope not. I hope
not. What if he pulled a full-blown Brian Hart, the only person to come back to host a competition on his own season after being eliminated?
Oh, that would be good.
They could do a Summer of Steve comp later on.
Yeah, no,
I don't know what the thought process was, but I don't like it that puts Tyler onto the show. I mean, is this, like, are they really thinking that's going to pop the ratings for TKO. I'm this is lost on me.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when they did Candy Crush, they did it like the Survivor Big Brother crossover event. These are going to come on. But I mean, they opened TKO with and they had Kevin Hart at the Survivor finale, but they opened TKO without any sort of crossover appeal.
And there will be none that remains.
Yeah. Other than if you watched it, Kevin Hart did like an intro after Big Brother was like, hey, everybody, watch TKO. Like, I know you're watching Big Brother. Come watch this.
I thought it was fun for the first 10 minutes. So mm-hmm. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Tyler will win. What do you think? I that's my speculation.
We'll see. I would have to think, based on the 1 hour of TKO I saw, I mean, he seems like he has the right body type for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough game. Tough world out there in TKO.
Like, especially, like, the first episode of TKO, there was, like, one guy who was, like, really athletic, and then there was a one woman who was really athletic, and everybody else really stunk at TKO.
Yeah, although I don't know if he'll be able to manipulate the other players in quite the same fashion as he has done in the Big Brother house. So, you know, we'll see. Could yeah. fall on deaf ears in the TKO arena. Very creatively named.
I mean, do you think, is he just like on TKO as like a normal citizen? Or when is Kevin Hart going to like say to him like, okay, Tyler, tell me about you. And he's like,
what if they actually dub
Big Brother contestant?
What if they actually dub in like a new VO or intro to really just mind F everybody? And they're like, hey, it's your first HOH from Big Brother 20 VO winner, Tyler. How you doing in the house this summer, my man? And he's like, whoa.
I can't believe it, Kevin. This is crazy.
This is the best reward comp win ever. Like I went on 1 versus 100 with Drew Carey.
Okay. Eric, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at the Dish Network who have a great opportunity for you to not miss any TV, especially Big Brother. Watch it in crystal clear HD, even if you're on the road, Eric, with the Dish Tailgater Pro Satellite Antenna. Eric, you're such an outdoorsman. I feel like that this would be perfect for you.
Yes, I've been known to go out into the wild at many opportunities, but it would be perfect for me having watched my 900 reality TV seasons in full. Plus, I've been tailgating with many past BB house guests before, so this would suit as well.
Yes, the Big Brother house guests do love to tailgate. You can watch live news, sports, anything, anywhere, crystal clear HD, and you only pay for the months that you use it. Dish offers a pay-as-you-go programming from $34.99 a month with no contract and no credit checks. That's perfect for most of the Big Brother alumni. You could just activate your subscription during football season and turn it off when you're done. No Wi-Fi required either. Say goodbye to constant buffering, searching for spotty Wi-Fi or other connectivity issues. It's rugged, weatherproof, and weighs just 8 pounds. You can haul it anywhere and wait till you see the Tailgater Pro in person. You can see the satellite dish when it's moving around, searching for the signal. And it's got a smoked dome cover, which I'm sure that Big Brother alumni would love as well. It's crazy affordable as well. TV outdoors doesn't have to be expensive. The Dish Tailgater Pro is one of the more affordable satellite antennas in the market, saving you over $1,000 on a comparable system. And you don't need to be a Dish subscriber, and you don't need Dish at home to get Dish outdoors. So to check it out, call 1-833-TV for RV or visit dishoutdoors.com. Use promo code PRO50 at checkout to get $50 off your Tailgater Pro and Dish receiver bundle. Some restrictions may apply.
This is the type of technology that BB20 could only dream of.
Eric, we got some voicemails and some tweets. So let's go to a question for you. This is from Gerald. You ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
Gerald.
Rob. So I've only watched Big Brother for 3 summers now, but is it a requirement that there always be one token person associated with Christmas? I mean, was it 18? There was Nicole's Boothang, who like loved Christmas. And then like last year, it was actually a chick named Christmas. And now we got Winston, who's just like sporting Christmas clothes. I don't know. You've watched more than I have, so let me know.
Yeah. Eric, why does Winston have some sort of Christmas-themed vest? Is that from a comp?
I feel like, no, I think that came from his personal wardrobe. And I wouldn't be surprised if, like, the Oktoberfest t-shirt with the suspenders is far behind. I considered this. There was once upon a time that I was very close to re-entering the Big Brother house. And I spent several days weighing the merits of simply bringing costumes into the house. I felt like it would be more entertaining. It would give my fellow house guests something to do for the summer. So I'm thinking this is like kind of like the ultimate bro sort of thing. Like, I, you know, I'm gonna do the mustachio bashio, gonna bring in my sleeveless Christmas apparel from Tipsy Elves. You know, I feel like this was shtick. But the thing is, they've blurred the lines. I know that they think that this is gameplay where they're putting forth their bro persona to disarm people, but I think they've tipped over to going full bro here. And you never want to go full bro.
You never want to go full bro.
Very rarely works out on these shows.
Eric, I feel like that you dropped something and then very quickly moved on to another point. If I may ask a follow-up question,
please do.
Was this in the last 5 years that you were buying this costume?
Oh, no. Please.
Not in the last 5 years. Okay.
Please. They don't celebrate Hanukkah on the recent seasons of Big Brother, only Christmas.
Okay. All right. Well, just curious. Just curious. Okay. All right. So these bros, in the history of Big Brother bros, where would you rank the bromance between Winston and Brett in the all-time great Big Brother bros?
Very low. I think that there's a lot of recency bias involved with this. I'm going to make even a bolder statement. I don't even think Caitlin is necessarily in the top 10 all-time craziest house guests.
What? Well, this is a podcast, and it's all right. Just give me some names, and then we can put them ahead of Caitlin just to get a sense of this. We don't have to rank them, but just give me five people off the top of your head.
Amber Shiavich, okay. Lydia Tavera, Devin Bro, Ronnie Talbot. You really want me to?
Was Lydia that much worse than Caitlin?
I think she was pretty wackadoodle out there. And I like a lot of these people. A lot of these people are really a great lot of fun and really good people outside of the house. The thing is, the house does crazy things to people. I mean, if you really, I mean, Justin put a knife to someone's neck. That really was a little uncouth.
One time.
Boogie proposed after just a couple of weeks. Caleb aggressively stalked someone around the house for a while, and which launched his CBS career, probably appearing on TKO week 3, most likely.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the thing is...
I think you ran out of gas with the Caitlin is not one of the top 10 all-time craziest.
No, I'm sorry. If you ask any past house guest or any past Survivor player who the craziest is, they'll give you three people from their own season. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. They're crazy in some... Danielle Murphy. Come on. she was pretty out there. She had a fabricated relationship. She thought she was in a relationship with a man who outright did not even enjoy speaking with her.
Who, Shane? I mean,
Yeah. There's a lot. There are a lot of crazy people. I believe I've expressed this in the past on the podcast. Back in my youngin days as a Big Brother contestant, I used to think you had to pass the psych exam in order to get on the show. But nobody ever said anything about the results of the exam. They just said you have to take the exam. So they're setting up a baseline of where you fall on the exam. And I don't know if you guys had this for Survivor. There's some bizarre questions on the psych exam.
Well, it's very long.
Yeah, it's like, have you ever left your own body and watched your own life from above? Have you ever had feelings
of that.
Murdering an animal or sexual feelings with a family member? I mean, the fact of the matter is they should know if someone's crazy or not crazy prior to them entering the house. So let's just say I think that it's possible that a few people who do not pass the psychological screening possibly slip through the cracks in the casting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I can't speak enough about that, but I think you're selling Caitlin short.
You made it on.
Funny, because guess who's in power? I am. And I'm a little f***ing girl with a big dick, and I'm
You know what?
Yeah.
I think that was Crazy James's opening line also.
Does Crazy James have BD energy?
What is that?
Yeah.
The back door on his like list?
Yes, I think so. I believe that is also the case. I'm not sure. All right. Eric, where were we? Okay, so you say Caitlin is not even in the top 10 of Crazy Big Brother players.
All right. That may have been a mediocre, lukewarm take. I'll give you that much.
Bad take. All right. Here is a call. We got a call last week from Steve, and Steve is actually back on the line with us. Here is Steve.
Hey, it's Steve. After going undercover as a woman, I'm now undercover as a teenage male. So that's why my voice is different than last time and from the show. I'm calling to ask about what you and Eric think production's response or reaction was when Swaggy C mentioned that Caitlin has a boyfriend back home, especially considering recent developments with the blurring of the picture of Caitlin and her boyfriend in her HOH room and the drama ensuing regarding his release. So thanks for taking this question, and Summer Steve 2018.
Yes, thank you very much for that. Yes,
Summer great. Steve 2018.
Great call, Steve.
Yeah. Great to hear from Big Brother winner Steve Moses. Thank you for calling, my friend.
Yeah, so this was Swaggy C talking about Tyler on Eviction Night.
Any words for Tyler?
He's soft. He fell in love with a girl who got a boyfriend back home. Like, good luck getting to the end. It won't happen. Fez and Bailey gonna take you out. Good luck. I don't rock with you. Don't talk to me after the show ends.
Okay. Yeah, he fell in love with a girl that has a boyfriend.
Yeah, I thought it was surprising to hear him describe him as soft. I would think with the rest of the description, they might say he's hard. Possibly. Sorry, I couldn't resist. I think production's all over it. I think they love it because they're not gonna fully do it themselves, but if other people want to call attention to it, it's all in good fun.
Yeah, there had been some reports that CBS was cutting the live feeds when she was talking about her boyfriend, but lately not as much. Do you read anything into that?
Maybe he's re-signs the waiver, possibly. It's just a roller coaster of emotions. Yeah.
He also he requested to have the waiver pulled. We never got word if it was actually request accepted.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe we bought into the producer's narrative. Maybe they just blurred the picture for funsies to make us all dive on this, possibly. I heard that his CD, though, Joe's CD, that is Scotty's HOH CD, actually.
Oh, is that what he's listening to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Here's a question for you. This is from Victoria, but not Queen Victoria.
Hey, Rob. Hey. Hey, Eric. Hey. Oh my gosh, Eric, this message is for you. You seriously better keep the Summer of Eric Stein, the Summer of Eric Stein, oh yeah, going all summer long, because I am not kidding. I live for you. Like, you are my favorite Big Brother player of all times. You can ask any of my friends or family. I will literally, like, fist fight them if anyone doesn't agree with me on, like, you being the best player of all time. And yeah, I just love these Monday podcasts. They're so funny. So yeah, you got to keep the Summer of Eric Stein 18 going, because, oh, and also, no one's come up with a song for the podcast because it was so funny when you were like, it is the Summer of Eric Stein. I mean, who can beat that? So yeah, I hope you guys have a beautiful day and a great podcast. Bye.
Boy, Victoria is so excited about the Summer of Stein.
Yeah, I found her on Craigslist. It was only $50 to get her to record that, too.
All right, Eric.
Speak positively about me.
So we asked the listeners to record some music for this podcast, and you said that you wanted to, in keeping with the themes of your great friend Adam Pock, that you wanted a metal theme to the Summer of Stein. So I actually have three metal entries for you to listen to.
Oh, my God. This is the best day ever. I know that you know this about me, but back in the day, I worked for the World Wrestling Entertainment, and back as a young Eric Stein, I always dreamed that one day I would have my own theme song.
Okay.
And I was a little jealous. Taryn gets like five or six different theme songs. There's theme songs all over the place. This is the best news that I've heard easily in the last 30 minutes.
Okay. Now, are you going to give us your pick of these three, or are you leaving it to the listeners? How do you want to decide this?
Let's hear them first. Okay. Let's see if anything is speaking to my heart right now.
All right. Here is the first one from RHAP legend Will from America. Okay.
Oh, my God. I'm honored.
The first heavy metal theme to Summer of Stein. Long intro.
Yeah.
It's the Summer of Stein. The Summer of Stein. You better tune in while you're online. It's the Summer of Stein. I'm losing my mind. Oh my God. It's the Summer of Stein.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was very straightforward. I could see myself in a mosh pit for that.
Yes.
I do think it encapsulates my basic energy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a strong candidate.
Okay. All right. Here is number two. This is from Adam B. Okay. This is metal entry number two for Summer of Stein. That's number two.
So that spoke to me. It reminded me a little bit of Mike and the Mad Dogs theme song.
Well, that
classic radio sort of flair to it.
How are you today, Eric?
Rob, the Yankees stuck today. That's the worst impersonation I've ever done. But yes, I do feel like that.
Okay.
Also, there were some classic metal, hair metal high notes in that one, which did sing to me.
Okay. All right. Let's go to then number three. This is from Taylor, of Becky and Taylor fame from The Wand Off. Here's Taylor number three.
They call him the best player to never win.
What I really liked about this one is that it didn't make any attempts at flattery whatsoever. It also just laid out factually what we are literally doing. It was like the lyrics are just like, Eric speaks to Rob. We call it the Summer of Stein. I don't know what's happening here, why we call it that, or why he's good in any which way, or why we should listen to this. It just is in existence. So I do like the very literal on the nose take of the lyrics on that one.
Mm-hmm. So do you need to sleep on it? Do you need more time to deliberate?
Well, I mean, like any good egomaniacal Big Brother player, I respond well to flattery. So I must say, if it was my take, I'm going with number two.
Number two. Okay.
That was the one that celebrated my greatness the most. So why wouldn't I select that?
All right. So congratulations, Adam B.
From the time, do you hear that sound? It's Eric Stein about to break it down.
All right. So there you go. So that, thank you, Adam. All right. And also thank you, Taylor. Thank you, Will, as well.
No, thanks, everyone. That was absolutely a blast.
We appreciate it. Okay. All right. And then I got a couple of tweets for you guys. Actually, if you want to tweet all week long, use the hashtag Summer of Stein, and then I will look at that before we go ahead and produce next week's show. But
what if they don't want to tweet all week long?
Yeah. All right. Here's a question. This is from Dara, wants to know, Eric, if you were in the house with the pegboard, would you try to write an anonymous note to ruin someone's game? Dara's been thinking about this a lot, Eric.
Yeah, I feel like this is something they probably got spoken to about by production. Only did the great Rachel Riley leave a pretzel note for Brendan about Matt Hoffman. That's the only instance. Back in my days, you weren't even allowed to bring eyeliner into the house because you couldn't use your fingernail to write in the aluminum foil in my house. So I find it very hard to believe that they're letting people leave secret messages. But I have thought about this before, and I think there is an application for this that would be great. Is you make it out as if you are documenting something factual about the house, like you're keeping track of days or vetoes or some sort of thing. You know, we've heard about these before, these like sort of Skittle calendars or some forth. So maybe you could make something along those lines, but deliberately make it slightly wrong. That's what I was thinking is possibly the best application. So someone thinks they are in fact stealing your accounting of the days and events of the Big Brother house, but yet you are intentionally have everything like 2 days wrong. So that way they'll mess it up in a later
competition.
You
would do that on the pegboard or have like a journal?
I mean, wherever I could get a hold of it, possibly. Otherwise, my next thought would be I'd have Crazy James visit the house and leave a message in the pegboard for everyone.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the pegboard has been abused in any way yet by the Big Brother house guests.
Not that we've seen.
Not until Crazy James shows up.
Yeah, they had to bring in the fumigation team at least twice already. Get rid of some unsightly issues with the board, I'm sure.
Okay. Eric, then I've got one other question for you here on the Summer of Stein podcast. One other tweet. This comes to us from the Melissa Bot, who says, how many followers did Eric lose thanks to the hashtag Twitter purge? Please tell Eric that I was the one who came up with the name Summer of Stein. Eric, I do have to say, with the name The Summer of Stein, while failure is a bastard, the Summer of Stein podcast name has many parents. Many people are claiming they were the person who came up with the name Summer of Stein. I've had at least five different people tell me, just so you know, I'm the person that thought of Summer of Stein.
And just so they all know, I've been having Summer of Steins since the late 60s.
Summer of Steve 2018.
I've actually used to say every summer was an SOS summer. And depending on the summers growing up, you know, there were some that were better than others and the acronym shifted with it. So while I appreciate the naming sentiment, I cannot give full credit to anyone in particular. But I am happy to report that we may have finally gotten to the bottom of why my numbers are a little deficient in comparison to other people. One is that nobody knows who I am and nobody cares what I have to say. And the other is that I lost, wait for it, zero followers.
Wow. Congratulations to Eric Stein. You did it. Yes.
And I do not want to name names, but I don't think that every past Big Brother contestant was lucky as I was.
Well, Eric, we have a crack research team here behind the scenes on Rob is a Podcast. And
this
is
going to be rough.
We got word that the Twitter purge was coming this week. So we put our researchers out there to say, okay, all right, let's take note of where everybody is today. And then let's check out where they are after the Twitter purge. So looking at the Big Brother 20 cast, I can tell you that there was one contestant currently on Big Brother 20 that lost close to 50% of their Twitter following. None of the Big Brother 20 house guests have a significant Twitter following at this time, but one of them had the most Twitter followers and now no longer has the most Twitter followers. So, Eric, would you care to hazard a guess which Big Brother 20 contestant lost nearly 50% of their Twitter following in the Twitter purge?
To me, this comes down to two possible candidates, and I could be wrong, but I'm going to go with the people who seem to be most drawn to liking attention about themselves. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with either our dear friend and life coach, Caitlin, or JC.
Okay.
Those are my two.
Do you have a final answer?
Got to be not so crazy, Cray K.
No.
No. You had it.
Johnny Mac, how dare you?
Yeah. It was JC.
Oh, come on. That was close.
He may think that there are 1 million people in America and 600 billion people in the world, but our research tells us that he had 6,937 on Twitter, 6,937 followers pre-Twitter purge, and then after the purge is down to a measly 3,760, losing 3,177 followers in the Twitter purge.
I'm sad to hear that because I would have thought that he earned those as a past contestant on Jose's game show gag.
Yeah. He was the only person from Big Brother 20 to lose significant followers in the purge.
Yeah, something didn't tell me that Big Brother 20 would be hit quite as hard as some of the past house guests.
Yeah. Surprisingly, that there were not any other major losses taken by the Big Brother alumni. We thought that people would have been way down, but our numbers showed that Frankie Grande, with over 1 million Twitter followers, was only down 2,000.
Wow.
One surprising name. I don't even know if, again, this is just what our research told us, that the person that we found, the Big Brother alumni that we found that lost the most Twitter followers, this is by ratio and by number,
was none other than Mark Jansen.
No. Again, the Big Brother, that most of the contestants did not lose a ton in the Twitter purge. It was a Big Brother 18 contestant.
Okay, that
and not someone that you will immediately guess.
Surprising. Bronte D'Acquisto.
No, Bronte. We could not find a Twitter handle for Bronte. Tiffany Rousseau, according to our research, lost 12,500 followers in the Twitter purge.
That is a surprise. I mean, she has some fellow Big Brother 18 house guests that would have been way high up on my list way before her.
And in fairness, in full disclosure, yours truly lost 1,000 followers in the Twitter purge, down from 65.4 to 64.4, Eric. So I am not without fake followers as well.
Yeah, how much did those cost you?
Look, I don't want to talk about it, but now I'm not whole without those 1,000 followers. Okay.
Yeah, so. I was actually hoping I was going to lose a lot, but sadly, they're still with me.
Yeah, I mean, basically anybody that has a lot lost something, but that was those were the numbers that jumped out to us.
Oh, I see.
Team.
You're trying to shade me for not having enough people to lose followers.
No, well, but I mean that by our calculations, we saw that Derek Levasseur lost 2,300 followers. Cody Calafiore lost 1,900 followers. Dan Geisler lost.
Possibly do an investigation discovery special on where his followers went.
Yes. Dan Geisler lost 7,000 followers. Ian Terry lost 3,000 followers. So Janelle lost 7,000 followers. So there are people took losses out there.
It hits Big Brother contestants right where it counts.
right where it counts.
Right in the pride. There's been a lot of tears shed this week.
Yes. And to our knowledge, Mark Jansen actually gained 100 followers in the Twitter purge somehow.
He timed it just right to buy the new ones.
it's a good time to buy. It's a buyer's market out
like,
there.
This will really throw him off. He said, if I buy 5,000 and I only can retain 100 of those, it'll look great on me.
All right, Eric, what else? What else do we need to talk about?
Anything? I do have a few other brief random thoughts from the week.
Yes.
How about Haley Diaz Twine implementing the anyone but me strategy with the HOH last week and this week? She plainly asked people, hey, is it going to be me? And once they said no, she said, all right, cool. I'll see you next week.
Yeah, nobody's coming for her. And I definitely think she's helped by the Crap app, Eric.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the Crap Hack has some actually, as you've discussed, unintended perks for the people who get it. It actually gives them screen time. It makes them sort of endearing. The house sort of roots them on. I remember back in the house, I was trying to throw people off of the scent of America's Player, and I really tried to drive the narrative in the first 3 weeks that I wasn't being called into the DR at all. And I would beg the other contestants, hey, could you name drop me in your diary session? I just want to make sure I'm still on the show all the while, you know, smirking like a smug dick, knowing that I was actually in there at 2 a.m. for 5 hours and so forth. And I think that that has sort of that unintended consequence, the Crap app, where it's going to immediately make the other players turn a blind eye to you and where you are in this game, because they just think, boy, if they're not getting screen time, if nobody cares about them, then I don't need to care about them either.
Right. Like if Brett got the Crap app, I think that would really help his cause this week. Whereas these house guests, they think he has a power app for some reason. Has there ever been a more overrated house guest, Eric, than Brett?
He reminds me of a young Mike Dutz out there.
Yeah.
It's great. No, I don't know. That, as we always discuss, perception is reality in the Big Brother house, and these narratives become like runaway trains. But I like a lot where Haley's at in the situation, because the perfect thing for someone with her character archetype to do is to do what you say, which is make herself useful and friendly and charming for the first 10 weeks, be number 5 in a 5-person alliance, and then basically play exactly how Nicole played on season 16, except don't go home 7th or 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Just flip the script.
Don't have a Derek in the house.
That's correct. If you can simply just get there and then make the move, and she might have some willing dance partners in a Bailey or a Rachel or Casey or Scotty down the road, Rockstar. Yeah. I think that's the perfect situation to be in this house. And I just loved seeing her go full Sandra out there and just say, hey, listen, I don't have a take on this situation so long as it's not my name that's coming out of your mouth. I think that's the perfect spot for her to be in and the perfect amount of influence that someone should want to be exerting in the first 3 weeks. And my other completely random thought of the week is that you may not know this. This is a little known Eric Stein fact. Actually, you do know this because we texted about it, but I'm trying to build up the intrigue.
Yes.
It's the fact that none other than the Yell man himself was my dear friend and coworker at World Wrestling Entertainment. And I'm delighted to see him as a recurring cameo on the show now. And I feel like he has fully asserted his spot living in a van down by the river, channeling his inner late great Chris Farley in these segments. And I enjoyed very much seeing my old buddy from many moons ago back on the show.
Zero stars!
There you go.
That was the review of my performance at WWE that came from him as well. So yeah. I'm very familiar with those words.
Eric, have you had any thoughts about the read it punishment where Haley has to be forced to read Hamlet to the house?
I recently went to a Shakespeare in the Park setting here in New York, and I did not understand what I was watching. So I feel similarly to how she felt in the diary room, that if tasked with this, I don't think I could read it with the right conviction.
Yes.
Because yes, I'm sure at some point in my life, I knew the story of Hamlet well, but those days have long passed me by. I think it's boring, perhaps, for her to have to do. It's certainly not affecting her game. It's certainly not going to make her vomit like the vegan ham did. So, yeah, I mean, I think the crap acts were unintended benefits to these players. These certainly were not damning to their game. Yes. I mean, considering that, like, last year, Ramses had to put himself on the block. Like, it's a little different than entertain people with a funny accent while reading them a book. People are bored in the Big Brother house. They have no form of entertainment. I think it's nice that they get a play. If I were her, I would enlist the acting services of some of the other house guests and turn it into a whole shtick, and it would become an endearing thing, which I'm sure is exactly what's going to happen.
And I do think that maybe a lot of the viewers can relate to the plight of Hamlet as they ask every single summer, to be B or to not be B? That is the question.
That was my question before clicking the link to join this podcast as well this afternoon.
All right. Eric, do you have a hashtag besides Summer of Stein for this week's podcast?
Oof. Nothing's jumping out.
Yes. Nothing about Crazy James.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking, but I couldn't quite get it to a family friendly spot, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave it at that. We'll leave you the hashtag to your imagination then.
Crazy James leaves nothing to the imagination.
All right. There you go. All right. Eric, great to catch up. Of course, you can follow Eric on his non-purge Twitter account at Eric Stein Tweets. We love getting ideas from you guys all week long on hashtag Summer of Stein. We'll be back with more next week. And Eric, as we debuted last week, it's time to close out the show with some parting thoughts and to tease people to come back to next week's episode. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
You roll in first.
Yes. And would you like to?
No, you can lead the way.
All right. I'm so pissed that Eric is constantly talking about his relationship with Crazy James. What's wrong with me?
If Rob thinks that I didn't Google search Crazy James's parts back in the day, he's got another thing coming. It was a genuine curiosity. I'm sure all past house guests did. And if he thinks that he can stack up against Crazy James, well, boy, is he in for a surprise exploding package next week.
Who will get the surprise exploding package? Will it be Rob or will it be Eric? Tune in next week to Summer of Stein to find out.
You see, I bet when you signed in today, you didn't think we'd hit the 30 Crazy James reference marks. Always expect the unexpected on the Summer of Stein.
That's right. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Big Brother time. Do you hear that sound? The show for us 3 times a week, instilling truth on knowledge in me. Your house guests better watch your mouth, cause Stein knows when your game's heading out. He's got the gift of gab and knows what to say. When you are ready, Rob, yeah, take it away. It's the Summer of Stein.
You've already heard that the Dish Tailgater Pro portable satellite antenna is one of the coolest pieces of gear to experience the joy of HDTV outdoors and get $50 off your own Tailgater Pro bundle. It's the one with the clear dome. Call 1-833-TV for RV or visit dishoutdoors.com and use promo code PRO50 at checkout. Some restrictions may apply.